This is more like a conversation this morning rather than an actual presentation. So if you'd like to share anything, please feel free to join the conversation. I read a lot. You will find the meaning of the title of my message this morning shortly here, but I read a lot. How many of you love reading? Do you love reading? Oh my, I love reading. I have books stacked at home. My sister says I'm going to live forever because I'll never get all my books read. But I read a lot. And in my Christian reading, I read Oswald Chambers and C.S. Lewis and Spurgeon and Wesley and Luther and Tozer. These are the great writers of our faith, most of them gone, but what a legacy they left. And the intensity and the clarity of their theology is incredible and challenging for me. It's very challenging. These are the people who have sought to know the great heart of God. And I so want to know God's heart too. And I read their words and let them sink into my heart. I read the things they struggled with. I read the things that illuminated their lives. I read God's living word. And in the Bible, God says, "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." And my name is on that page in that verse in the Bible. Beverly, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. All of it, not part of it, all of it. I will find God's heart if I seek him with all of mine. In all that I have read and learned and experienced, all of it, there is one thing, one simple thing that is the most profound and personal and precious of all. I search and I seek the scriptures and the heart of God because I long to know the deep things of God, not the surface things, but the deepest things of God. And the most profound, personal, and precious, life-changing, life-saving truth of all is what the children are first taught in Sunday school, that phrase that is somewhat carelessly tossed about today. Do you know what it is? Yes, say it. Yes, God is love, or God loves you, Jesus loves you. Yes, tossed about somewhat carelessly sometimes. God loves you. Sometimes when I know nothing and am nothing, when nothing makes sense to me, I long just to hear God's whisper, "Beverly, I love you." I just want to hear that in my heart. And my feeling is always the same when I hear God whisper that. My feeling is like, "You do? Me? You love me. You do." I'm always somewhat surprised and relieved and amazed and hopeful that the God of the universe loves me and each of you. The weight of that knowledge, God loves us, you. You can say it to yourself just sitting there right now. God loves me. The weight of that knowledge should make us tremble. That was in the second verse of our hymn we just sang, our trembling hearts. The weight of the knowledge that God loves us should make us tremble and drive us to our knees on our face in thankfulness before our God. It should. And then you think, "Oh, that. Oh, God loves you, sure. I heard that. I guess so. That. yeah, God loves me and you. I listen to a lot of music, a lot, Christian music, excuse me, and I want my music to be theologically sound. I want the musicians to be inspired and accomplished. I have no time for sloppy, sentimental, kind of drivel music, because life is hard, and while we're journeying here, I need songs for the journey. I need music for the journey. God gave me a new song to sing. He gave you one, but I need music for the journey, and I need the real thing. And so in the past week and a half, I heard this song, and I saw this video, and it so amazed and inspired me. It so filled my heart that I wanted to share it with you. So I asked George, George, can you do this? Can you pull this off the internet, and can you show it to the church family on Sunday morning? So he did it. It's not entertainment. This is not entertainment. This is worship. And so I ask you to view this with an open heart. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. It's by a young man named Jason Gray. He is a singer-songwriter. He has a family. He is a young man who has a genuine heart for Jesus. He is a seeker of God's eternal truth, and God has so inspired him to create, to write this song and to create this story about his song. This is his spiritual gift. This song is called Remind Me Who I Am. And it's a story, and it's about us. And I hope that it will touch your heart as it touched mine. And I've watched this probably a dozen times myself. It gets more beautiful each time. Did you see all the signs, the labels that people held up to describe who they are? These people on this video. Signs of labels that either they apply to themselves or other people put on them to say who they are. If you were to write a word this morning, right now, to describe who you are, what would it be? What word would you write on your sign this morning? On the video, we saw these words. I wrote them all down. We saw addict, illegal, I don't matter, regrets only, they used me, I am angry, weak, refuge, refugee, rejected, my life doesn't work, anxious, empty, and I cheated them too. We saw those labels, those people. I'll tell you what, we could all hold up the same sign this morning, all of us. That sign would say sinner. Wait, that sign would say sinner saved by grace. God says all have sinned, all, that includes me, all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. So all of our signs could say sinner, but I've been thinking about this all week. And as Jason sang and asked God to remind me who I am, you saw the words change to beloved. Beloved of whom? God. Beloved of God. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are. And as I thought about this week, I could add more words. There's people whose signs would say arrogant, afraid, heartbroken, selfish, confused, depressed. There's people whose signs would say prideful, apathetic, unkind, self-absorbed, hateful, ugly things. Guess what? I think I've been all of those things. But God says whether we are an addict or arrogant does not change the truth that we are beloved of him. God loves us. It does not change that truth. if the bad, hard things of the world have happened to us, and it's hard for us to even believe that God cares anything about us and the things that happen to us, yet alone love us, it does not change the truth. Just because it's hard for us to accept and believe, it does not change the truth that God loves us, that we are His beloved. I just had a conversation in the last week with someone dear to me who said someone dear to them is really struggling right now with things that they have done in the past, and it's affecting their life today. I hope they know that they're beloved of God. You know, but then there's some of us, things are going pretty good, great even, and we're just going with the flow, and we don't give much thought at all about the love of God. It's like, oh yeah, it's there, and we just kind of deserve it. But we don't give much thought to it, the weight of it. Sometimes we think God loves you is just for kids, not for real men. Kids are busy being kids in today's world. But when does the world start to trash their little hearts with things like, you're not good enough. You're not, insert any word, enough. You're not enough. When does the world start to fill their little hearts with things like, nobody's ever going to love me? How do we grow up with that? And why do they believe it? Why do we believe it? Somebody told me once that it's easier to believe the bad things than it is the good things. I said, I don't much care for that. When do we become motivated and suffocated by guilt and pride in believing the lies of the world instead of believing the truth? The truth is, we are beloved of God. Ann Voskamp is one of my favorite Christian writers, and she says that sometimes we live as practical atheists. A practical atheist, that's her term. She says, we believe in God, but we don't live as if He exists. We believe in God, but we don't live our lives. We're not living as if He exists. We live like He doesn't exist sometimes. I'm still thinking about that, but I think I agree with her. Sometimes I do. It's interesting. In the genuine love of one person for another, in friendship or marriage or family, that genuine love, you know it, a friend, family, a marriage partner, it's life-changing and life-saving. When someone says, I love you, I believe in you, I respect you, I admire you, I like you, it's life-saving. But to know and then believe in your heart that God loves you, that it is God saying to us, I hold you in the highest esteem. You are treasured, precious, valued above all else. You are worth dying for. My son did that. I sent him for that purpose. This is your worth to God. God is crazy about you. Max Lucado wrote, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. I like that. Jason Gray's song, Remind Me Who I Am. I ask God to do that. Remind me, because I can label myself. I know all the labels. And if I can't come up with one, other people are happy to do it for me sometimes. label me. But God, as I work my way through this world following Jesus, remind me who I am. A child of the living God. My Abba is the God of the universe and the God of eternity. I want to finish with these scriptures. They're very short. I'll give you the scripture reference. You might even want to write them down on the back of your bulletin somewhere and just take them home with you and read them to remind, let God remind you who you are every day. I read them every day. Here's one from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. Here's what it says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now there's a clue as to who we are. We are the ones in whom Christ lives out his life here through us. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Galatians 2:20, God says, you are the one Jesus loves. Remind me who I am. You are the one Jesus loves. That's who you are. And then we have Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Do you know what God just said here? God can't stop thinking about you. Kayla and Jude, did we learn this in Super Kids for Jesus? Yeah, God can't stop thinking about you. He's crazy about you. And he thinks about you more than the number of grains of sand on all the beaches in all the world. That's all the time. And then there's 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, 1. How great is the love the Father has, are you ready for this word? Lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. What are we? We are the ones upon whom God has lavished his love. That means extravagant, over the top love. Lavished. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Then there is 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because of the love of God and the love of Christ, who had no sin and took ours upon him, we are becoming the righteousness of God. This means you are the one worth dying for. You are the one worth saving. You are the one worth forgiving. You are the beloved of God. and Ephesians 1:4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. There's a little more to that verse, but I pulled that part out for you this morning. Ephesians 1:4. Can we even comprehend what God has told us there? Before he made the world, before he created the world, the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before that, God says he loved us and chose us to be his own. Can we even stand up under the weight of that knowledge that God thought about me and loved me before he created the universe? And the last verse is from Romans chapter 8. Verses 38 and 39. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Can you finish this verse, Romans 8? Yes. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us. Me, put your name in there, will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. No label. No experience on this journey. Nothing separates us from the love of God. We can walk away. We can refuse to acknowledge that love. We can be apathetic about it. But it does not change the truth that we are beloved of God. It does not change that truth. Knowing that God loves us is never an excuse for bad behavior. But God tells us here that he loves the sinner. And when he looks at us, he sees his own son, Jesus, and the love that was laid down for us at the cross. What if we could see each other as beloved of God? I think if God will help us do that, then we wouldn't need any stand your ground laws in our world. If we stood on the cross of Christ and knew in our heart that we are beloved of God, and if we who know that take that message to others, it is life-changing. And so, George, could you come play our hymn together is number 367. He touched me. And if you have a special prayer request this morning, you are welcome to come forward to the altar.